Proverbs 19, verse 27. And we'll take a few minutes here looking at something that I think is very important in our lives that we need to realize. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27. If you're able and would like to stand, excuse me, as we read this, I'm going to read four passages. And I want you to turn your Bible to all of them. I don't have them marked in my Bible, so you'll probably get there as quickly as I will. Proverbs 19 and verse 27 is where we'll begin reading. All of these verses have a word that is common to all of the passages. I said I'll read four, I'll read three passages. There's a verse, a word that's common to all these verses. As I read the verses, I want you to see if you can figure out what that word is. And when I finish reading all three verses, I want to say one, two, three, and I want you to call out what you think that word is. Now, don't hold out because you're afraid you're going to mess it up, and let your wife say it, guys, okay, because you're too chicken to say it. I want you to blurt it out, okay, what you think it is, all right? Young people, I want you to say the verse, the word that you think it is when we get to the end, okay? Proverbs 19 and verse 27, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err, or some would say err, from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 28 and verse 10. Proverbs 28 and verse 10. "Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession." How many think you know the word? All right, we've got one brave soul. Okay, two, three, all right. Let's turn to book of Matthew chapter 5, book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. Just read this one verse, Matthew 5:32. "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Okay, on the count of three, how many think you know it? All right, a good number. All right, one, two, three.
Causeth.
Very good. Causeth. And I'd like to bring just a brief thought this morning on whosoever causeth. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, thank you for the testimony of this church. Lord, I love this pastor. He's been a great help to me, Lord, through his books and through his classes. And I appreciate, Lord, his stand for the Lord and love for you. I pray that you'd help me this morning to glorify your name and be a help to your people. Would you guide us in truth? Thy word is truth, and we need your help this morning. I love you, and I thank you that you love me, even though sometimes I'm not very lovable, but Lord, you love me anyway, and I pray you'd help me to love you like you deserve to be loved. And I pray that you'd help us this morning as we turn our attention toward the scriptures that, Lord, that we would be changed as a result of responding appropriately to your word, and we'll give you the praise for it. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me. And I pray that you'd help me to speak with power that comes from above, from your word, from your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. As I look at these verses, there's a truth that of Scripture that stands out to me, and it is the truth of cause and effect, or action and reaction. And as I look at this, I can't help but think of the matter of individual responsibility. I think that all of us would agree that we can't blame other people for our wrongs. We live in a day in a society that people want to play the blame game. Psychologists would tell us, well, that's really not your fault. That is your parents' fault. It's really not your fault. It's your husband or your wife's fault. If they treated you differently, then you would be a different person today and you could do right. And we know that is completely contrary to the Bible, because the Bible says that every one of us must give account of himself to God. And so we need to not play the blame game. You know, Adam and Eve in the Bible, whenever they sinned, Eve was in the garden and she partook of the fruit and she gave it to Adam and he did eat also. And the Bible says that they were ashamed. They hid themselves. And God came to them, and as he called to them in their hiding, finally they come out of their hiding. And Adam says, "What God says to him, what is this thou hast done?" And Adam says, "The woman thou gavest me." But you know, the Lord never rebuked him for saying that. The Lord never rebuked him for that. Because what Adam said was true. It was right. She did give him the fruit. And then he went to the woman. And when Adam says this, he doesn't rebuke Adam. He doesn't say anything to Adam. He turns to the woman. And the woman says, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." The Lord did not rebuke Eve. Because what Eve said was accurate. The serpent did beguile her, and she ate. And then the Lord turned to the serpent. And he started with the serpent, and he judged the serpent. Then he works his way back. And I'm here to tell you that displaced blame, maybe accurate blame, displaced blame does not defer judgment. You can say all you want and be accurate. I'm not making light of anybody that is going through suffering. It is true that there are wives that suffer in their homes. There's no doubt about it. They have a terrible home life. The husband's a rat. He won't live right, won't do right, treats her like dirt, and it is a tough situation. There are children that are abused and go through difficult situations in their home, and they try to do right, and it feels like every time they try to do something right, there's this counter. There's always this something that's coming against them. But I want to remind you that displaced blame, that playing the blame game, will not defer judgment. It will not keep God's judgment from you. You can't say, "Well, my mama and my daddy." There comes a time that you're going to have to stand up and take account of yourself, because one day you're going to stand before God and you're not going to be able to point your finger. You can say, "Well, Dad was a rat. Mom was terrible to me. They abused me. My husband's awful. My wife's awful. My children, my boss." And all those things be true. But that doesn't mean that you can not do right because other people don't do right. And so we find this matter of cause and effect, and I see individual responsibility. And oftentimes when we think about this matter of cause and effect, we think about how we're supposed to respond to treatment by others. That's one side of the coin. And we are supposed to respond appropriately to the treatment of others. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." So there is an attitude that we're supposed to have. Adam was supposed to have when Eve offered him that fruit. He should have responded in the right way. When Eve was tempted by the devil, she should have responded in the appropriate way. But I want to remind you, there's more to it than just how we respond to things. The other side of the coin is this matter of causing thing in other people's lives. Now, I can't make other people sin, but I can certainly cause them to. And this morning, the few minutes that we have, I want to talk to you for just a minute about influence and how we use our influence, because it does matter. I can't make my wife sin, but I can sure cause her to do things by my influence. Will she give account for those? Sure she will if she sins. Will I give account for what I've pressured her or caused her to do? How I raise my children, the influence, how I live at work or school, and the influence that I exert in other people's lives? It's kind of like fishing. As I look at this word cause in the Bible, in a noun form it means reason or purpose. David said, "Is there not a cause?" In other words, isn't there a reason? We find that in the verb form, though, it means to compel or affect or to bring something about. Kind of like fishing. You go out, and when you go fishing, you bait your hook or you use a lure. And the reason you do that is you're trying to cause that fish to take that hook. Now, that fish isn't just going to take that hook. It needs something to cause it to take that hook. There needs to be something that affects that fish in a way that says, "I want to hold that." And God has given us a life to live. And our life, whether we like it or whether we don't, affects people. The Bible says no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. Our life affects other people. And God wants us to live our life in such a way that it would attract people to the right things and not allure people to the wrong things. And so God is very interested in this matter of our influence. One of the strongest words is in the book of Luke. It's in several places. It doesn't begin in Luke, but Luke chapter 11, verse 53 is a word, and it describes the scribes and the Pharisees trying to get into the life of Jesus and get him to do things he ought not do. In verse 52, "Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered." And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, notice, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Here are these scribes and Pharisees that are doing their very best to provoke our Lord to say something he shouldn't say. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We use our influence. Have you ever had somebody start to say something and they stop? And we say, "Oh, go ahead and say it. Don't do that to me." Anybody ever done that other than me? Our curiosity eats us up, doesn't it? But you know what we do when we do that? It may be something, somebody's going to say something wrong, and the Holy Spirit checked them and said, "You ought not say that." Or maybe it was somebody that wasn't even saved, and their conscience bothered them. They thought, "I really ought not say that." And they felt checked in their conscience, and we say, "Oh, go ahead and say it, say it, say it, say it. You thought it, you might as well say it." You ever heard somebody say that? You know what you're causing somebody to do? You're causing them to sin twice. They sin in their mind, because they thought something they knew they shouldn't even thought. And now you're trying to encourage them to say something they shouldn't say. And so our influence matters. That we need to encourage people to do the right things. Not like the Pharisees, encouraging people to do the wrong things or say the wrong things or to be the wrong person. We encourage people to do right. And I'm not going to read all these scriptures. In Romans chapter 11, verse 14, Paul is encouraging his people to know the Lord. And he's wanting them to emulate him. He's provoking them to be what he wants them to be, what they need to be. Ephesians chapter 6, 4, "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Colossians 3, 21. And I want to finish by saying this. There's a lot more scriptures. Hebrews 10, 24. We're supposed, one of the main purposes for coming to church is to provoke one another unto love and good works. There's a lot of reasons we come to church: preaching, singing, all exhortation. All those things are wonderful. One of the things is for encouragement, that we'd encourage each other, provoke each other, use our influence. Some of you, you think nobody ever watches you, but there's somebody watching you. And their life is following you, and you have an influence. How we live our life affects others, first of all. Secondly, how we live our life can cause someone to be obedient or cause someone to sin. Not make them, but cause them. And third, our actions and reactions often produce similar actions and reactions. The Bible says that soft words turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. In the book of Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, I'm finished right now. Proverbs 15 and verse 1, and read this scripture and I'm finished. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, "A soft answer, turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Why is that? Because our actions and reactions provoke people to do one thing or another. And I'll ask you this morning, how are you using your influence? People say, "Well, it doesn't really matter how I live." Have you ever heard somebody say this? "I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference." Well, the fact is, you are making a difference. It's just a matter of what kind of difference you're making. Well, I'd like to ask you this morning, what kind of difference are you making in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, thank you for this time. And I pray that you'd help us to use our influence in a way that would be glorifying to you, that would lead others to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.